Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Syrma SGS Technology Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY23 results conference call of Syrma SGS Limited. We have with us senior management, but before I hand over to them, just in one line, our view is positive on the company. The company has done extremely well in the second results, and we congratulate them for the excellent set of numbers. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Investor Relations, to take it forward. Thanks, and over to you, Mr. Nikhil.
Yeah. Thank you, Aniruddha. A very good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to Syrma SGS Q3 fiscal 2023 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Sandeep Tandon, our Chairman, Mr. J.S. Gujral, our Managing Director, Mr. Jayesh Doshi, Director, and Mr. Bijay Agrawal, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the performance of the company during the quarter three, 2023, followed by the detailed question and answers. During this call, certain statements that will be made are forward-looking, which involve several risks, uncertainties, assumptions, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. All forward-looking statements made herein are based on the information presently available to the management, and the company does not undertake to update any forward-looking statements that may be made in the course of this call. In this regard, please do review the disclaimer statements in the earnings release and all the factors that can cause a difference. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Sandeep Tandon, our Chairman, for the opening remarks.
Hi. Thank you all for joining this call. Like expected, we have been quite strong growth in the last quarter, over the last quarter-on-quarter, as well as the preceding quarter. We continue to see demand from all our customers. Of course, there is some slowing on export, but that is more like a misbalance of, you know, of numbers not coming through as soon as we were expecting. But that also should be starting to trigger very quickly. But because we are so well diversified across industries, we are able to keep our growth prospects the same despite, you know, certain turbulence in certain area that might hit. We are not used to doing quarter-on-quarter reviews, so everything looks good as far as, you know, our year looks, still continues to be strong. The team has done a fabulous job in bringing up our new facility in Manesar 2 and in Chennai for the design and development. We continue to double down on our design and development capabilities, where we've added new talent this last quarter, coming from marquee companies that were building out more ODM-type development with our current and new customers. We have had very strong audits done by marquee customers throughout our facilities, so we are expecting new business to roll in over the next six to nine months with those customers. Generally, a good quarter. Hats off to the team. Supply chain issues have calmed down somewhat, but not fully there. And also, of course, we were predicting a Chinese New Year that comes, so planning materials before that would have made some changes on our inventory levels, but on the negative. But otherwise, you know, very strong performance from the team and, you know, very proud of what we've achieved year-on-year, quarter-on-quarter over the last, you know, last 3 months. I'll hand it off to Nikhil now. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Gujral, our Managing Director, for the opening commentary. Yeah.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to host you on the Q3 earnings call of Syrma SGS Technology Limited. The third quarter has been an exciting and challenging one. Exciting because we continue to see robust growth in the domestic market, and strong inbound inquiries from domestic and multinational customers, both for domestic and exports. Challenging because we face short-term headwinds because of the recessionary conditions in Europe, which impacted our exports. But the long-term story remains intact. The quarter gone by, we have seen a good performance on almost all parameters, and this is a testimony of the robust and resilient business model which our team has been able to craft out over the last years. We have seen growth across almost all segments barring exports and a couple of industry verticals. The domestic business has done phenomenally well. As of 31st of December, we have an order book of 2,100 crores, which would be executed during during calendar 23, spilling over to 24. Now, I'll just summarize the key financial parameters before I hand over to Bijay to run you through the detailed financial numbers. Our consolidated revenue for the quarter ended December 22 stood at 524 crores, which is a 73% year-on-year rise, EBITDA by 53% to 60 crores, and PBT by 51% to 45 crores. On 9 months basis, that was for the quarter, last quarter, on 9 months basis, our consolidated revenues grew on expected lines by 55% to 1,391 crores, EBITDA by 42% to 151 crores, and PBT 34% to 111 crores. The growth is primarily led by our continuous efforts on design-led manufacturing, and has broadly been across sectors, but led by auto and consumer. The growth in a few sectors like healthcare and exports has been muted and slow because of the recessionary conditions, inflation in Europe, but we are very confident on the long-term story and expect this to rebound in the coming quarter or two quarters. Our margins consolidated PAT is of 34 crores, which is a 70% growth year-on-year. I now hand over you to Bijay Agarwal to run through the detailed financial numbers of the quarter and the 9 months ended December 22.
Hi, thank you and good morning everyone. I'll just quickly take you through the brief financials. As explained by our MD, in on a consolidated basis, our revenue grew by 73% year-on-year for this quarter to 524 crores. EBITDA for this quarter stood at 60 crores, a growth of 53% year-on-year, and despite ongoing global issues. And also, we are able to control some of our cost in this particular EBITDA. That's where we have been able to show this growth. Coming to PBT, our PBT for this quarter is 45 crore with a 51% growth, and PAT for this quarter is 34 crore with a growth of 70%. This quarter, our gross material cost increased by 300 basis points to 73% as a factor of softening into our export healthcare business, and also coupled with a growth, significant growth in the consumer segment specifically. Coming to treasury position as on December end, we are continuing with a total treasury balance of around 886 crore as on December end, which includes some bit of short-term investments and mainly the surplus funds from IPO invested into FDs. Moving to debt and capex update, debt for this quarter is approximately 326 crores, which includes 236 crores of working capital loan and around 90 crores of term loan. On that basis, my net debt position as on December end is 560 crores. Coming to capex, we had deployed around 35 odd crores of capex during this quarter and expecting to incur another 40 to 60 crores in Q4 of this financial year. Coming to our overall working capital position, My inventory days has increased to 121 days from 108 days last quarter, and mainly on account of we were expecting a Chinese New Year in this initial January first 2 weeks, and that's where we were on a conservative basis. There was a higher inventories which were carried on as on December end mainly. On receivable side, there is a saving of almost 12 days on quarter-on-quarter basis. So my receivables are stood at 62 days as on December end. Same way, trade payables are at around 99 days as on December end. And in totality, my net working capital days are 83 days. 3 days increase over last quarter. So broadly, that's the financial summary. I now hand this over to Nikhil.
Yes, thank you. Operator, back to you for the Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations on a good revenue number this quarter. You know, I see that consumer segment has done quite well. We've seen a very strong growth trajectory both on YOY basis and QOQ. So if you can talk about, you know, how sustainable is this number? What is the kind of clientele where you've added clients, or is it a wallet share gain, etc.? And also if you can talk about, you know, you did mention in your opening remarks that exports has seen a bit of softness. So what is exports as a percentage of revenues? Are we seeing an improvement in the inquiry levels, etc.? And then I'll take on more questions if there is time.
Okay. Now, answering your last question first, the exports for the 9 months ended December stood at about 34%, which are lower than the corresponding figure of last year. And for the quarter, they stood at about 26%. So there was a significant headwind on the export front. But we are very confident that based on the inputs received from the customers and the inbound inquiries, the long-term export model remains intact and robust. And we expect a rebound to happen in Q1 of 23-24 in the export front also. Now, as far as your question on the consumer growth business is concerned, this is primarily led by our entry into the fiber to home devices under the telecom PLI scheme. And the visibility which we have received makes us confident that this is a sustainable, this will lead to a sustainable growth in this segment in the coming quarters. It's not a one-off growth, but a sustainable growth. And we have also added more technology partners in this segment, which will further broaden the base and de-risk the segment from the vagaries of a particular technology partner going down or a customer going down. So we are broadening the base on this front.
Okay. And thereby the margins have kind of reduced because of this new client.
Yeah. Consumers as an industry has lower margins. But it has a positive spin-off of a high turnaround, which results in a velocity of capital and working capital days comes down. So it is a trade-off. But as a industry, consumer is more price sensitive than industrial and exports and healthcare.
Sure. So if I may just squeeze in one question on, you know, obviously we have a decent order book, we're seeing good trajectory going ahead, but any new areas that we are entering, new clients that we've bagged in the last, you know, quarter or so, if you can just talk about that, that would be really helpful.
The new areas which we discussed last year also, the growth would be led by the automotive, industrial and consumer. In automotive, the higher traction of growth will be in the EV segment. as we speak, we are very strong into the EV mobility, that is the electronics which go into the vehicles. The new segment which is opening up is the charging infrastructure and energy storage infrastructure. Early days, but we are having good inquiries. We are talking to technology providers who can provide solutions for that. So that's one area which we expect that going down the third quarter of this year, 23, the energy charging, the EV charging infrastructure should see a traction, which currently is at a very sort of a slow momentum. The mobility is very high, which is the electronics which go into the scooter.
Right.
So, during the quarter, we have been approved by 3 or 4 marquee customers, international customers, and we have come on to their global vendor list. These are into automotive, refrigeration, and industrial.
Got it, sir. I'll come back in the question queue. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikunj Kala from Sundaram AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So my first question is with respect to your material margin, which you have mentioned in the slide 11 of your presentation, where consumer material margin has declined from 45% to 19%. So I understand quarter and quarter won't be a right thing, but what will this number from 9 month to 9 month, and any color you can give us, like why there's such a sharp deterioration in there?
The numbers on 9 months, I'll ask Vijay and Nikhil to share with you separately. I don't have it right away with me. But the contraction in the margin is that the consumer earlier was predominantly ODM.
Okay.
So the ODM component always has a higher margin. And with the plain play print-to-build consumer kicking in, and that to a high value, the percentage, the ODM to the total bucket of consumer has gone down, and hence the contraction in the margin.
Okay. So what was the percentage of ODM earlier and now?
Vijay, you can ask it. Okay.
Yes. Currently, for this quarter, ODM percentage is 11%, and it was previously 26%.
Okay,
and
sure.
This is mainly on account of change in this export business, which was an ODM business that way. So, the moment that comes back again, it will be.
Okay, sure. And I know what kind of a capex we have done in 9 months, and hence the, you know, what is the gross block as of 9 months, FY23?
Vijay will answer that.
So, we have done approximately 35 crores of capex during this last quarter, and this is split into multiple different facilities, our north facility and south base facilities also.
No, the question was like till 9 months, what is total we have done, and like what is the gross block at the end of December 2020?
So against those projects, we have spent almost 180 crores as of now, and
okay.
In the upcoming quarter, we are expecting to incur another 40 to 60 crores.
And what is the gross block now?
Gross block currently is approximately 600 crores.
Okay, 600 crores. Okay. And any guidance for FY24 capex, if you can?
For FY24, we are estimating we should be incurred somewhere between 200 to 250 crores of capex.
Okay. Currently, as on like a 9 month basis, what was our utilization levels?
So we have started two facilities. One is in Manesar, Gurgaon, and another was in Chennai. So the first facility which was initially started, that is doing at a very decent utilization of around 50% plus. And the second one has just recently commissioned. So the utilization levels have to be seen on a run rate basis going forward.
Okay. So this 600 is still at gross block which you mentioned, still a large chunk is still underutilized, right?
Yes. There is a lot of room for utilizing the CapEx cycle which we have done.
Okay.
And it typically takes 3 to 6 months for the asset to come to its optimum utilization. So you're right when you say that the capital investment done so far is yet to reach its optimum utilization stage.
Okay. When we say optimum, it's like 80 to 90%?
80-85%. Typically, we say 80-85% is the optimum utilization.
Okay. And then in that case, sir, 200-250 we are spending in, we will be spending in 24. Is there that CapEx is any customer backed or is just the anticipation with which, we are working with that CapEx guidance?
Typically, the CapEx which we do is split into two. One is the fundamental basic infrastructure, which is the land building and putting up a facility. And the second is stuffing that infrastructure with the production equipment.
Okay.
While the first one is done once we find that the existing space or if existing facility cannot accommodate more lines.
Okay.
The second expenditure is invariably incurred once the current assets reach 80-85% of utilization, and then we stuff the mold, stuff in mold lines which are dedicated to expected business inquiries from the customer. It's not done without any visibility of business.
Okay, sure, sir. And this last question, since we have so many verticals, import, export, the nature of the contact with the customers varies very differently, and hence the asset turns, on the incremental capex which you put becomes very difficult to guess. So as a, thumb rule, what is the threshold ROC with which you, initially put the capex?
See, we strive to get a ROC of 25%.
25%?
Overall ROC, but to say that I'll do this business at start, it should give me this ROC. ROC is very difficult to predict. So on a long term, we plan and we budget and we endeavor to get 25% ROC from the overall business.
Sure, sir. And in that, if you can help me, breaking down that number in terms of turns and the working capital requirement, that would be helpful, sir.
So that varies significantly from project to project and new business to other business. Like the new business which we have recently added, that is giving us a better turn versus my overall average asset turn currently for this quarter is about 5.6 times.
Okay.
So same way, that is something which varies. But yes, what we expect going forward, the new business which we'll be adding, that should give us a asset turn somewhere between 6 to 8 times.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot for your comments. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. The first question is related to your order book. So can you give some detail on the industry-wise or domestic and export mix in your 2100 crore of order book?
See, out of the 2100 crore of order book, what we have is the one which is executable within 12 months is about 1800 crores, and the spillover is about 300 crores. And on the...
If we talk about export also here, export order book currently stood at around somewhere between 35-40%, and the balance is domestic order book that way. Industry-wise also, maybe about 40% is like a consumer sector order book, and maybe about 20% plus is what the current order book is there on from the auto sector. And then again, around 15-16% is like current order book is there from industrial, and about 7-8% from healthcare sector.
Okay, great. Second question is related to what you had mentioned about the design-led manufacturing driven the growth. So can you explain that?
See, in the EMS industry, there is one build-to-print, which is the vanilla EMS. The second one is where design component is involved. And we have always been a design-led manufacturing company. And going forward, we would be strengthening this design team to a bigger extent so that we can take benefit of the emerging technologies and the emerging business opportunities. So at talent level, senior level, we are strengthening the team. It will be a quarter or so when the full team is in place and the results should kick in thereafter. So it is a deeper involvement, engagement with the customers, with the semiconductor industry to design products meeting the futuristic demand of the customers across verticals.
Okay, that's helpful. So what's our target for the ODM contribution in the coming years?
We would strive that the ODM contribution should be a healthy 25-30% plus, 25% plus on the increased top lines.
Okay.
You see, with the domestic automotive demand and other demands going up, 25% of the increased turnover, the resultant turnover, we are striving and endeavoring and budgeting to have it from the ODM business.
And especially in the consumer segment, you have largely the ODMs?
No, we have ODM, but the ODM in consumer as a percentage of the total consumer sale would be less. Bulk of it is built to print, which is the design and product is of the technology provider.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhavish Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, team. Great set of numbers and good visibility on the margins. Sir, a couple of questions. First thing, the cash balance on the book of 800 odd crores. Next year, we'll be using around 250 crores from that, plus cash flow what we'll be generating. How are we going to utilize this money? If you can give some understanding of that. Second question is, given we also have a plant which is under PLI, how will this PLI benefits come to us? From where, from which quarter or which year will it start coming in the P&L? And last question will be, what is the ROC for the 9 months and third quarter?
Okay, on the cash and ROC, I think Bijay will come back to you immediately now. I'll take your question till then on the PLI. On the PLI, we are sort of achieved the threshold capex and turnover limits. So we are eligible for the PLI, and as per the guidelines, we have to file the application after the close of the year. So the PLI application will be filed after 31st of March 2023. Now, when we get that PLI, we get it in Q1 of 23-24, Q2 of 23-24. It's dependent on the government, but going by the past trends, I think in the first half year, or maybe at worst, by Q3 of 23-24, the PLI which accrues to us for the year ended March 23 should be with us.
Okay, and broadly, what is the amount?
Let's see, there are still 2 months remaining, but I think it should be, we are eligible for 5 or 6% of the PLI in telecom, and I think we should be crossing the double digits in the PLI.
Now coming to capex thing, against a total capex of around 800 crores, what we are estimating, we should be able to use around 300 crores in next 1 year towards capex, and some capex related funding can be used thereafter. And about 100 to 150 is what we can use towards working capital. And balance is what we have kept as a general corporate purpose, which we can use as and when depending upon the business requirements. So that's where we are. Coming to our ROC thing, ROC for this quarter, if we deduct the overall surplus unutilized funds of IPO and also the goodwill on the balance sheet, my ROC for this quarter is 22.4%, and for 9 months it will be approximately 21.7%.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was, you know, just wanted to understand, is there any seasonality between the quarters for us?
See, because we are spread across the various verticals on overall on top line numbers, we would not be impacted, but within the industries, there is a seasonality and there could be impact on the discretionary spend based on the recession or the inflationary conditions as you're facing in exports. But because of the broad base of the verticals which we service, the depression or decline in one vertical is offset by a growth in the other vertical for the top line. But the variation within verticals does have an impact on the earnings and the profits.
Right. So, but what I'm trying to understand is generally, you know, Q4 is, you know, much larger compared to other quarters in this kind of business. So do we also have that kind of skew, or, you know, more or less are all quarters are equal?
So, you see, if we were to sort of split the 9 months gone by, Q1, we had a run rate of about 128, 129 crores per month. Q2, it went up to 148, 149 crores. Q3, it is 168 or 169 crores. So we expect that it should be around that sustaining that thing. But since we are not dependent on too much of government orders, the skewing towards the fourth quarter is invariably when you are dependent too much on the government orders and the grants are lapsing, so you tend to ship out, bill out in the last quarter. Since we are not significantly present directly in the government sector sales, we don't see this skewing happening because of the quarter. The growth would happen because of the long-term growth. So if quarter on quarter I'm growing, it will be based on that quarter on quarter I'll keep growing.
Right. And sir, you know, coming to next year, looking at the current order book, you know, we feel that, you know, overall growth rates might not be that encouraging. So, you know, just wanted to get sense, you know, what kind of growth we are expecting next year.
See, we expect to grow in line with the industry. And industry is expected to grow at a very strong level. So to say that the orders don't justify the growth, I think we have 2100 crores of orders. And the financial year is yet to begin. It's still almost like 50 days away. So we are very confident that the growth momentum and trajectory will be maintained in the coming years.
Right. And on profitability, sir, the current quarter, you know, our profitability was a bit muted. It is to do with, you know, mix change, which we have seen in the overall, you know, numbers. So going ahead also, you know, our mix will more or less be same like what we have seen in Q3. So is it fair to assume, you know, our margins would be in the range of, you know, 10.5% kind of range?
Let me put it this way, that the Q3 gone by has seen headwinds in exports and healthcare. We expect a rebound of it to happen in the Q1 of FY23-24. So obviously, when the rebound happens, of which we are very confident, the margins would see an uptake.
Then,
coupled with optimum utilization of my investments and the operating benefits setting in, I think all these 2-3 factors will sort of add to the margins of the company.
Right. Right. So, sir, what would be our top 10 client concentration?
Top 10 client concentration would be about, I think...
it's approximately currently 46%.
46% or 50%.
Right. Right. Okay, sir. Thank you, Anand.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Abhange from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me? Yes. So I had a question related to the consumer segments. In consumer segment, apart from fiber to the home, what are the other categories which are performing? Like, we have also come about your association with Firebolt. So are the wearables categories also performing overall? And we, as we are seeing a, you know, quite a good shift from China to India, the overall manufacturing facility. So that's, I wanted some color on the consumer segment.
See, the consumer business broadly is led by the fiber to home, telecom, and the wearables, as you rightly said, control for water purification. These are the ODM businesses. Control for the energy-saving devices, the brushless DC motors. We have got big traction and a large order from a leading company in the country for our own design products. So these three, four categories in the consumer segment would lead the growth.
Okay. Okay, and like I wanted some color on the healthcare segment. Like as you said, that it will come back in the next quarter. So in healthcare overall, what is the breakup like domestic and exports? And are you facing any difficulties from China? Like as you're aware, that China has started to recover. And they have started dumping medical devices products in India. So what is the overall scenario in healthcare? Are you facing any difficulties? Like what are the exact difficulties? Can you put some details on that?
Okay. See, on the healthcare front, it's a predominantly export-led business. So very little component in domestic. And what we supply is a solution to the customer. So it's not a commodity which you are supplying. It's a, at the end of the day, it results into a commodity, but backed by an engineering solution which is given to the customer. Now, this is facing a bit of a sort of a slowdown because of inflation, recessionary conditions, and reduction in the discretionary spend of the customers. Now, this healthcare product, what we supply, the solutions which it give are not life-saving that it is mandatory for the consumer to spend. These are discretionary spends. And hence, we are seeing the sort of slowing down of the business in the Western world because of recession. We really don't see too much of sort of competition would always be there, but we're being threatened by competition from China or their dumping because it's not a sort of what you call a sugar analyzer or that what used to do a pulsometer and all those things. These are solutions which we have provided to the customer.
Okay.
My customized solution.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for the answer. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Mohan Raj from Skaniva Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. So in the previous call, we mentioned that we are looking at inorganic expansion, I mean forward expansion into box build assemblies. So can you throw some light color on it, like what is our existing business in this box build assembly section, and also when we move forward with the inorganic or the organic way into box build assemblies, will our margins go higher, probably like our peers which are in the mid-teens for the EBITDA? Thank you.
See, as far as the inorganic thing is concerned, it's a work in progress currently, and we have nothing concrete to share with the industry and the markets. We are evaluating continuously, and as and when something would materialize, we would come back to you. The current box build as a percentage of my total sales is hovering at about 14-15%.
And okay.
Once we go into a box build, depending upon the industry segment which we go into, it does have a positive rub off on the margins. But what much would depend upon the industry vertical where we go in. Because, for example, if it is appliances, it's not a significant there. It is a very sort of razors in margin. We are not planning to go into them. But the margin profile would depend upon the industry vertical where the box build is supplied.
Okay. So, can our existing ODM as well as the PCB business integrated into the box build, or will it be a separate kind of business?
See, it is the same facility, fungibility line. And typically what happens is, A, we could get a box build right from day one, and B is we start off with the PCBA and then gradually migrate up the value chain to end up supplying a box build product. And that's been what we've been doing for the last n number of years, that when we enter a customer, it could be a PCBA, but if that PCBA was to go into a final box build and not part form of a big machine or equipment, then we sort of go up the value chain to supply the box build product.
Okay, thank you. Now that's it from my side. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Ma'am, can I just... Hello?
Sure, sir. Please
proceed,
sir.
I just want to answer on the question which the follow-up answer.
Sure, sir. Please
continue. In the inorganic, as you had asked, yes, we are looking at inorganic things, as Mr. Gujral said. And it's a little early, but whatever is going inorganic will do, it will definitely increase the margins. That's how we are targeting inorganic. And in terms of the order book on the earlier questions which was asked, if you see earlier the order book was about 1700 crores, which is now 2100 crores. So not only the actual order to conversion is happening at a faster pace, also the order book keeps on increasing. So it's, you cannot look at in isolation the order books, that 2100 will not get us into the kind of growth which we are looking at. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Nishant Sharma from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers, sir. Two questions from my side. One question is related to margin on the ODM and OEM business. What if you can throw some light, like what would be the differential margin between ODM and OEM? That would be great. And second question would be around the status of the PLI. So if I'm not wrong, we have two PLI. One is in the telecom segment where we have scaled it up very well. And other is on the white goods space. If you can throw some status, some guidelines on what would be the threshold in terms of capex and in terms of revenue and incentive percentage, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, on the PLI part, I'll take the second question first. As I already confirmed that we have crossed the threshold limit for capex and turnovers in the telecom PLI, and we are well on our budgeted figure numbers which we had planned at the start of the year and what we achieved with the government. On the air conditioning of white goods PLI, unfortunately, we have not started off the capex cycle. The capex cycle is 10 years per year, 50 crores over a period of 5 years. And resultant turnover, I think, five times capex is the turnover which we have to do. We are supplying air conditioning control boards to some companies, but the quantities are not large. Our own design boards have been supplied to a couple of customers and they are still under validation. The investment cycle for this PLI would kick in only when the ODM boards get approved. That's as of date. However, if we were to get a quantum jump in the air conditioning business on build to print, which means the design of a customer or a technology provider, then the capex cycle would be setting. But as of date, it is on a sort of a slow trajectory. Now, on the first question which you said, the delta between ODM and EMS, well, it is superior in ODM. And what superior number it is would again depend upon the vertical which we supply to.
Understood, sir. So basically, I was looking at that because the consumer segment, which is a low margin, would be scaling up much faster and would have a share of like 50% the consumer segment. So will there be any scope of like 100 to 150 basis point kind of a jump in the EBITDA margin going forward? Is that a possibility? So I was just looking at from that perspective. And on the PLI side, just to reconfirm, for air conditioning, it's 50 crore over the period of 10 years.
So 50 crores over a period of 5 years. Capex 10 crores per year.
Okay, understood.
And telecom, it is 20 crores per year.
Approximately.
That's, the threshold limit is 20, you could spend more. In telecom, the threshold limit is 10.
Okay, so for this year we have spent 20 crore on the telecom side and we are on that same trajectory going forward also.
Yes, please. And this will form a 50% of our turnover. That I think that is not correct. We don't see consumer forming 50% of our turnover.
So current order book, 40% is consumer, right? The 2100 breakup which you have mentioned?
Approximately 35 to 40% is yes, order book. So it will be that in that range only, total consumer business. 35 to 40.
Okay, understood. I'll fall back in queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Asset and Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
So congratulations on a good set of numbers, but this is a question in relation to your previous answer. When you mentioned that healthcare, for example, is more solution-based, so just to understand a little more about this, does it mean that there's some part of this business which is revenue accretive regardless of any orders? Is it sticky or does it move in tandem with orders? How does this part work when it's a solution-based to a client?
See, when it is the healthcare business which we are into is essentially a solutions-based product which we have supplied to a customer, and that customer is seeing a slowdown in demand because it goes only into the Western world. It's not for the developing countries or this part of the world. Now, because of the inflation, uncertainty, because of the Ukraine war, the energy crisis in the West, and inflation which this generation of West, whether America or Western Europe, has never seen in their life, an inflation rate of 7 to 10%. So their discretionary spend has taken a big hit, a big knock. And hence, the slowdown in the products which we supply to our customers, they are more not life-saving, as I said earlier. They're more lifestyle and healthcare products which go into the thing. Hence, this is facing a headwind. And as I shared earlier, I think by Q1 of next year, we expect the rebound to start kicking in and expect to attain over previous levels going forward.
Sure. So I understand that. I meant, like, how does it work in terms of solution based? Does it move in tandem with the order placed, or is there some part of it which is sticky and you get a revenue for that regardless of how much?
We have developed a solution. If it has a life of 10 years or 5 years, so the product, it depends on the product life cycle.
Okay.
So once we have provided a solution, the orders will keep kicking in till a new product is developed. And once we are with the customer and if we have serviced the customer well, and we have done that over the last 4, 5, 6 years, so it's but natural that any new development of a product which comes in from the customer, we would have a head start and we would be the preferred choice for the customer because we have serviced that customer very well over the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. So that could be adding to the portfolio of the products or a replacement of the existing product.
Okay. And so I know this might be tougher, but is there any part of the business which we could, like, let's say, consider, and let's say there's a global slowdown all your segments. Is there some part of the business which you could say is, like, sticky, which will see a minimum revenue regardless of how much slowdown, let's say, happens? Right now we're saying auto industrial doing really well in consumer, but some durable companies are saying that they are starting to see slowdown. Would there be any part of our business which you could see as sticky?
See, the stickiness of the customers is evident that we have customers who have been with us for 30 years, 20 years, 15 years. And we are growing with the customers. The wallet share is growing with the customers. Now, in the very unlikely situation of a global recession like 1930s, well, then it's a macro level thing which will affect everyone, and it depends how much less we can be affected by. But to say that we'll not be affected by a global recession, unlikely though, if it was to set in, I think would not be correct. But based on our broad profile of products and regions, geographies, we believe that we are well placed to face any such headwinds. The fact that despite exports and Europe and America slowing down, we have still been able to grow at 50-odd% for the 9 months and 73% for quarter on is a testimony of the robust business model which we have in place.
Okay. And so lastly, on the last part, last question, let's squeeze in PCBA. So what could help us leapfrog in terms of making PCBA a much larger portion of our revenue, and how are we going about that?
See, PCBA still account for about, I think, 70-odd percent of our revenue.
Okay. So in terms of, let's say, us versus a consumer business, PCBA for consumer, different types of industries. In consumer, obviously, PCBA would be a lower margin. But for that to, is there any way that we could see that in terms of margin increase if we do anything more value-add, or is that a fix across the board?
See, we have our industrial, we have our business model set in and fixed. We will be concentrating on different industry verticals and will not be skewed towards a particular vertical, whether it is automotive, whether it is consumer. Would like to have a healthy mix of all the verticals. Now, if consumer, if you are referring to, say, mobile phones.
Sure.
Well, that's a separate thing, and as of date, I'm not saying that it's a no-go forever, or it is, as of date, we're not at all, evaluating going into that segment because there are good players in that line and we don't see that we'll be able to give any value add. See, our unique selling, unique proposition which we offer to the customers will give them a value add. If I am also one of the manufacturers of a particular thing, then, well, that's not our DNA.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Smitesh Seth from Raedan Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Seth?
Hello?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Hello. Sir, just now in the opening remark you have mentioned that there were audits conducted by some of the marquee customers. So which segment they are into and how much time does it take from audit to a order finalization or a placement stage?
Okay. Now the segments where we have been audited by are IT, telecom, automotive, industrial. Industrial is again a broad spectrum. It could be renewable power, it could be refrigeration, it could be anything. Now, so it is across the industry vertical. Typically from the time when an audit is conducted and should the business materialize, it is a cycle of 12 to 18 months for volume production to kick in. So whatever audits have been done in Q3 of FY22-23, that is up to December, the business of this would come only towards the end of 23 or financial year 24-25. So whatever audits were done in 22, the business has started kicking in now. So this is an ongoing process. When the new customers come in, it takes 12 to 18 months for volume production to start.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj Navandhar from Sampada Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, sir. Sir, I joined the call a bit late, so the question might be repetitive, but I see the exports revenue has fallen to 26% of our revenue from operations. So do we expect it to stay at lower levels or do we expect to bounce it back to around like...
Sorry, what you said, exports?
Exports revenue has fallen to 26%.
Yeah. See, exports revenue has fallen to 26%. That's what I shared in the opening remarks. And we are very confident that it will rebound, kick back in Q1 of 23-24 and then gain traction and momentum thereafter. And we expect that next year we should be back to whatever percentages, which is about 30-32% earlier. If everything goes as it is and if there are no surprises across the world, then the exports should rebound and will rebound.
Sir, currently if we look at the rest of the world situation, it looks they're going into a recession and a slowdown, and India in all of that looks a very bright spot. So why are we not focusing more on India? Do we get better margins in exports?
No. You see, Indian, we are the growth, and that's what we said in the beginning, the growth in the current thing has only come in from the domestic demand. So it's not that we are looking at export versus India. It is export plus India. And we are geared up to cater to both the markets. So it's not that sacrificing growth in India. We are bullish and we are very aggressive on achieving greater market share for the verticals, industry products which we are in. So India would continue to be one of our prime focus areas. I think it's a wrong perception. India is one of our prime, focus areas. But it's not domestic versus exports. It is domestic plus exports.
Right. And sir, let's say if at all in case the global markets doesn't rebound as we have expected, so we should be able to fulfill that void with Indian business, right?
Yes. You see, again, despite exports coming down, we have still achieved what we had set out at the beginning of the year. And based on the inquiries and the inputs and the dialogue with the international customer, it's only a question of time, maybe one quarter, two quarters before the export traction gains momentum and comes back to its original form.
And so do we get any better margins in exports or is that the same level as domestic business?
You see, exports has two advantages. One, it provides us a natural currency hedge. Because electronics, we have all 60% of the cost of materials is imported. And second, yes, exports does have a better margin.
Okay. And sir, how is the semiconductor issue right now? Do we have a very smooth? How is the semiconductor issues right now? Do we have a very smooth supply?
The passive components have eased out, but microcontrollers continue to be a challenge area because passive components, at least it is a wider manufacturing base, whereas the microcontrollers and the active components have a smaller manufacturing base. There would be a handful or two handful of companies making all those things. And bulk of the semicon is being done by Taiwan Semiconductors and Samsung. They control about 85-87% of the market share of semiconductors. So, easing in the passive components, but challenges remain in the microcontroller and active components.
And so, till when do you expect this to normalize, or is it difficult to say?
It is difficult to say. It's very difficult to say. But with the way the passive components have eased, we believed last year that it would be easing out by maybe middle of this year. Maybe another two quarters from here, it should ease out. It should ease out. But that only necessitates long-term planning. The growth has come despite the shortages.
Right. And so how is the freight costs behaving now?
It has slightly softened. It's slightly softened. The container availability has also eased out a bit. And the freight costs have also eased out a bit. They were not what they were middle of last year or third quarter of last year.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Mehta from East Lane Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. Sir, would like to just understand the box build business better. Like, what is our current revenue mix from the box build, and do we see it reaching in the coming years? And also, I want to understand our manufacturing capability in terms of box build. Like, are we vertically integrated, or do we plan to be, given it's not our key strength, so we want to depend on outsourcing for this? And does it, in terms of box build versus a plain PCB, is there a big differential in terms of margins? Because what I see is our key competitors, they have a mix of over 30% box build, and they make margins of 14-15%, and, so just would like to get your perspective on this.
Now, box build as a percentage of our total sales is about 14-15%. On the capabilities, we have full capabilities for the box build. When I say full capabilities, it may not be in-house, but we have got long-term contracts, dedicated vendors for sheet metal and plastics which go in for a box build. Putting up a plastic molding line with the tool room is not a big deal, but the volumes have to justify the investment over there and the management bandwidth which it will take. But we have got dedicated vendors with whom we have been working for the last decade, two decades, and we have had no issues that because of lack of in-house facility, the business is suffering. Should that be the situation, we would evaluate and go in for the backward integration. But currently, since we are not facing any challenges because of that, we would continue to work out on this model. Now, box build versus PCBA, the value goes up, and slightly the margins in absolute terms also go up. Hello.
Yeah. So basically you're saying box build would definitely, there'll be better margins in that business, right?
Yeah, it has a superior margin than a vanilla PCB. It has a superior margin than a vanilla PCB because once we make a box build, then it doesn't go into the factory of the customer. It goes directly to the warehouse of the customer and to the ultimate consumer. So obviously what the customer is doing at his end, we are doing at our end. And if there is a differential cost strategy, it does result into a superior margin.
Got it. And sir, in terms of box build, what we do currently, like 15-16%, what are the kind of products are we doing? Are we doing more high-end products or are we doing more consumer products?
We are primarily doing industrial products. We would be the power supplies which are going in for data centers or what you see at the airports and all those things, the door openers. We do point of sale printers, which is again an industrial or a consumer application. It's not the normal printer which we install in the house. They're a bit more sophisticated fiscal printers which are having a lot of software in it based on the VAT structure of the country where they are exported. So these are the two sets which we currently do. One is the power supplies and one is some controllers we do which are box built, and the point of sale printers are box built.
Right. And probably repeating my earlier question, but is there any reason why there should be such a big differential in terms of margins between us and competition, given we are almost, you know, serving similar kind of customers, similar work, probably their box build is probably slightly higher. But is there any reason for such a like big gap in terms of the margin profile?
I can speak for myself, honestly. We are in the business and we are in the marketplace and we know what prices are available. So we stand by the numbers which we have shared. I really cannot comment. I'm not competent to comment on the numbers of anyone else.
Right, sir. So, but given in the call previously you mentioned about, you know, increasing your capacity utilization and efficiency, we can also reach double digits, like at least 12-13% kind of margins in, say, in the coming years, right?
What we have been maintaining all through is that we'll be at lower double digit margins on a sustained long-term basis. Short-term, because of the capex cycle which has been set in, because of front-loading of the expenses to make the organization future-ready, there could be certain sort of a depression in the margins. But we continue to believe that on a long-term sustained basis, we should be at lower double-digit margins.
Got it. So, last question from my side is on the clean energy space. Are we doing, like, are we under discussion or already doing something on the hydrogen space, solar space for some US clients? Like, are we already under discussion or already doing something for them, doing some technical, like, more complicated box build products?
We are already supplying controllers to renewable energy companies. They're all export oriented. And as I shared in the my opening remarks, that electric charging infrastructure and energy storage, these are two upcoming cycles, sort of verticals, which will, we believe, will see a lot of traction going forward. Maybe not a year from now, maybe 2 to 3 years from now, energy storage would be one of the biggest growth drivers in the sector. And we are currently evaluating and in discussion. Early days, we'll share if some we get some breakthrough. On energy part, energy conservation and energy efficiency would be another thing because of the green goals which the government of India has set in. And we are well placed in that with our own design on controllers for brushless DC motors for the fans and migrating it to other applications.
Got it. Thank you, Doctor. Thanks. This is very useful. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just one clarification. You mentioned our order book is at around 2100 crore and 35% of the order book would be export and around 65% would be domestic. Is that fair understanding?
Yes, please. Broadly, yes.
Yeah. So, sir, on this basis, if we see, you know, domestic revenue which we would have achieved, we are almost, you know, on that, you know, run rate. So how to look at, you know, the overall
numbers. Basically, I'm just trying to understand, you know, what kind of growth we might achieve in domestic, because domestic this year, you know, has been exceptionally well and current run rate is also pretty high.
See, we are very bullish on the growth of domestic business, fueled by sectors across verticals, led by automotive and consumer and others. Long-term, our objective and our target is to be in the 30% plus range for exports going forward on a long-term sustained basis. Quarter on quarter, there could be dips because, you see, we don't play business quarter on quarter. We are more focused on building an organization which is sustainable, scalable, and profitable over the long run. So these are the three parameters which we work on: a sustained growth, scalable growth with profits. Short-term hiccups would be there. It's a business environment. So we are, while we are cognizant of this fact, we are not too much worried on the quarter-on-quarter basis, as long as we focus on the long-term building a model which can withstand the long-term vagaries of business cycles. That's our endeavor.
Also, just to add, this order book which we are discussing, that is something is to be fulfilled in next few months, next quarters, or majority part of it in a way. So it's not like next full year's estimated volume, something like that. A majority part of it has to be fulfilled in early next few months and quarters.
No, we mentioned that 1800 crore is the order book which is will executable over next 12 months, right? So on that basis.
That is depending upon the total orders of this thing, but again, that's the outer deadline of few of the orders in that thing. A majority of those order book has to be fulfilled in next two quarters also.
See, just to add on, last quarter we had an order book of 1700 crores.
Right.
Last quarter we did about 524 crores. So if 1700 minus 500, just for the sake of rounding off, it's 1200, and 1200 to 2100, so 900 is the fresh intake.
Right.
So that, as Mr. Jayesh Doshi had stressed very correctly, the final thing, that despite a higher run rate of execution, my order book has increased by almost like 25%, 1700 to 21% is almost like 25%. So we are very bullish on the whole entire thing.
Got it. Clear, sir. And on some export, are we adding any new client, etc., or this is existing client will see, you know, rebound in growth?
Both exports are both new clients and existing clients. In existing clients, it could mean sort of expanding the portfolio or offerings to them.
Right. And just lastly, 9 month FY22, if you can give us export share. So this 9 month is 34% versus what could be last year?
Last year it was about 46%.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. J.S. Gujral, Managing Director, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in this Q3 earning call. I would just like to conclude that we as management are focused on building, I just said in my earlier comments a short while back, on building a sustainable, scalable, profitable organization which can withstand the vagaries of business cycles. Quarter on quarter is critical, but we are more focused on the long term. And we are building our capacities, building our management teams, that we have a professionally run, ethical company which serves not only the business stakeholders but also the society, so that all our skills are also focused on making the world a better place by energy conservation, green technologies, and all those things. So we are bullish on the long-term sort of growth story, not only of our company, but also of the country. We believe we have now reached the threshold, the cusp, where we can see accelerated growth in the quarters and years going forward. We would endeavor to be the preferred EMS partner for anyone who wants to look at EMS as a service in India. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.